on family business, and he's got a lot of decisions to make about some things, and so we want to pray for him and just give thanks to God for the wisdom that he's going to give to him. And I know Judy has not been here for 3 weeks now, and that concerns me. So I don't know, maybe Judy, maybe tomorrow we could go see her, but we need to pray for her. So let's do that. Father, we thank you this morning that you are a God who knows all things. Lord, you are a God of wisdom. Lord, and so we pray that you would give a spirit of wisdom on Pastor Dave as he spends time with family situations, and Lord, that he would have favor, that he would have clarity of thought, Lord, that he would just know what he's supposed to do. And Lord, we pray that you would just relieve any heaviness from him and any burden that he's carrying that he was not designed to carry. You are the great burden bearer. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just help him. And Lord, for Judy, Lord, we pray for her, Lord. We pray for her back, and I'm assuming that's what's going on. But Lord, we just pray she's in such pain. Lord, we pray that you would heal her, that you would deliver her from this, Lord, that she could be free from it. And we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week I shared with you a little about Financial Peace University, and I actually realized I didn't finish a story. So I began to tell a story about how in 2008 we really got smashed in the housing bubble burst, and we found ourselves bankrupt and in deep debt, and it was just a bad time, and we God helped us a lot, but we went to Financial Peace University, which in a lot of things I knew, but it put it in such a step-by-step beautiful order that we were able to follow it. And one of the first things that they talk about in Financial Peace University is getting a emergency fund, right? And the first baby step is getting a $1,000 emergency fund. Well, $1,000 at that time might as well have been $10,000 or $20,000 or $100,000. We didn't have it, and we were just barely eking by. And, I don't know how old I was, I have to do the math, but I was too old to start over again, in my opinion. So anyhow, I'm thinking we will never retire. We will never be able to stop working. I'll be one of those guys at Walmart, welcoming you. So anyhow, we went to this, and we went home from that session, the very first session, and we said to the Lord, Lord, we don't have this, but if you would provide for us this $1,000, we will, but it has to come, it can't be designated for something else, it has to be unexpected. So that week, we got a check in the mail from a church that we had absolutely no, I don't even know who they are. To this day, I don't know who they are. We had no connection with them, they had no connection with Elam, but they put a check in there for $1,100. So we were able to put our $1,000 into our emergency fund and had $100 to pay our tithe. So I thought God took care of everything. But so that was, and what I didn't say last week was that step, so where God began to work on our finances was a turning point. It was a pivotal point that enabled us to, we both retired in 2018. And we're certainly far from being wealthy, but we have all that we need. We have no debt except a little mortgage on our house. We own our cars. We don't have any credit card debt. Every month, I am at peace because I know our financial responsibilities are going to be met that week. And it started by taking godly principles and common sense. And that's what this is. Could we see, we showed this last week, but I want to show it again. If we could show that video.
Can you imagine having no debt? That means no mortgage, no student loan, no credit card bill, no payment. How to imagine, isn't it? We live in a culture where debt is considered normal. 78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. That means 8 out of 10 people currently You have to have a credit card. You can't go to college without student loans. So what do you do? Well, you got a loan for your car. You have not just one, not two, but three credit cards. And you'll be paying for college and retirement. And now, before you know it, debt starts to weigh you down. You see, Proverbs 22:7 is true. The rich will go to the poor, and the borrower slays to the lender. When you owe someone else your paycheck, the money comes in and goes right back out. You don't have anything left to pay yourself or to bless others. This isn't the life God wants for you. But we have a step-by-step plan that can help. It's called Financial Peace University, and it's helped over 5 million people learn God's ways of handling money. And you can get out of debt, save, invest, and make giving a part of your daily life.
So we're not sure yet whether we're going to have this. This is kind of to see if there's enough interest to do this. So this is the second week we've talked about it. This will be the last week. But I want you to know that it's a 9-week course. It would begin right now on the 29th of September, and it would go to the 27th of November. That's 9 Tuesdays. It costs $79, and if anybody really wants to go, but you do not have the money, if you see Pastor Dave, see me. I'm sure we have some, we can at least partially help scholarship you if you really feel that this would be good for you. Let me just do this, and then I'm done with this pitch. So the 9 steps, let me put my glasses on here, the 9 things that the 9 sessions will be: number 1, week 1, build a starter emergency fund and learn how to budget. I don't want to ask how many here budget, but I'm guessing there wouldn't be a whole lot of hands. Budgets are important. You should know where your money's going. Pay off all debt. Some are saying, I can't, there's no way. There is a way. We were deeply in debt and followed what they call the debt snowball, and it works, and you can be out of debt faster than you think you can. Okay, then save a fully funded emergency fund, invest for the future, build wealth, watch out what you buy, the role of insurance, retirement planning, for some of us that's a little late, real estate and mortgage, and living and giving like no one else lives or gives. And so those are basically the big topics. So if this would be helpful for you, it's a commitment, and so if we get enough interest, we will do this. If we don't have enough interest, then maybe we'll talk about it again next year, and maybe there'll be some other people. Or if you are financially uneasy, if the life you live has you nervous about paying bills, meeting with things, and all of that, this is really something that I think can really help you. And so I'm going to pass this around, and some have signed it. You don't have to sign it a second time. Don't sign it to make me feel good, because if you sign it and we have it and you don't come, I won't feel good. Okay, so if you're not interested, that's fine. No harm, no foul, but we are making this available, and so you don't have to sign that again. So, all right, well, thank you for bearing with me on that little commercial. It is a very effective very effective thing.
Can I ask a
yes.
On Tuesday,
it will be 7 o'clock at night. It will go to about 8:30. Okay. Yes. I can't hear you, and nobody else can either.
I have an update on Chris in Texas.
Okay, sure.
He was supposed to be in the hospital for 4 to 6 weeks. He is now going home Tuesday. He does not have to have the therapy. So praise God and that he's doing well.
Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. So as you see, Pastor Dave is not here. He normally has a lot more to say than I do. You get a little bit of a break this week, I guess you might say. Anyhow, we have a very special, not a guest to the house, but we have a very special speaker with us this morning, and that is Andy Myers. And Andy, we'd like to invite you to come up and share your heart with us. Let's welcome him. He's a good brother.
Well, hello again. My wife and I did go through the Financial Peace University thing on our own 3 years ago. Three or four years ago. It is great. It does really work. I mean, we don't have credit card debt. We don't have really any debt except for our mortgage. So it works great. Wonderful. All right. It's me again. Yay. I didn't have as long of a time to prep for this sermon as last time. You know, this time, you know, last time I had a couple weeks knowing I was going to speak. This time I have like 8 days. So my notes were only, you know, 8 pages. So it's not that bad this time. Not 64 like it was last time. So we might get out of here early. Right? Yay? Woo! Beat the rush to Two Lady Smoker. Alright, so I want to start. Adam's going to have to follow along on the slides because what I was trying to use to click through isn't working, so help me out, Adam. Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Let's pray. Lord God, I just pray for this morning. I pray for your blessing upon it. I pray that you would prepare our hearts, our minds, our ears, help us to hear what you have to say to us. Lord, I pray that you would give me focus of mind to help clearly communicate what you have shared with me over the last few days, weeks. Lord, I pray that this time will be a time that's memorable, that is a time that we can look back and meditate upon. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so we've been hearing from Pastor Dave over the last 2 weeks about being imitators of God, right? You know, being like our Father who is in heaven. And it's been great, and that's pretty much all where this is coming from, right? As I've been sitting wherever, and he's been sharing and pouring out his heart, I've been, you know, just receiving and hearing and I feel like, you know, God was just pouring into me this, which I feel is, you know, along the lines of what Pastor Dave was speaking, you know, being an imitator of God. Who are we trying to be like? We're trying to be like Christ. We're called Christians because that's Christ-like is what it's meaning. And Christ was the sacrifice for all of us. So let's be a sacrifice as well. Well, that was all pouring into me over the last 2 weeks or so. And so then Pastor Dave asked me to speak. Would have been last week before he spoke. He asked me to speak, and I told Heather what I was thinking the Lord was speaking to me about sacrifice. And as she's sitting there, she just goes, "Oh, brother." Right? Right? And she tells me that I can't use any examples from her life. At which point I'm like, "Are you talking about how you've been burning?" And she's like, "Yes." And I'm like, "Figuratively or literally?" And she said, both. And if you don't know, she is pregnant. And since she's been pregnant, she's just been hot all the time. And this summer has been a little difficult. She just wakes up and is hot. But yeah, so the idea, the scripture that I latched onto was this out of Romans 12, first verse, about being a living and holy sacrifice. In chapter 11, when Paul is writing this to the Romans, chapter 11 is all about who, right? You know, it's are you a part? Are you not a part? He's talking to the Jews first, and he's saying, hey, you guys were given this first, but some of you didn't accept it, and God's pruning you out. And then he turns to the Gentiles, and he's like, hey, you weren't a part of this at first, but then you were humble, and then you were listening and taking hold of everything that this gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ was being told to you. You took it and accepted it. So now God is taking you and grafting you into the vine, right? Making you a part of his family. So now it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, right? The Jews still had it first, but now the Gentiles are grafted in. That'd be us. And as Paul lays this all out in this very legally written letter, he gets to this verse, and he gets to the part where he says, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This isn't the first time that we come up with this idea. I mean, Jesus says, hey, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. Right? He's telling us, hey, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die for you, for your sins. I'm going to take that, be a sacrifice. Peter quoting Leviticus in three different places. During his first letter, he states, you are holy because I am holy. He's talking to the people, God's there talking to the people of God, saying, you will be holy because I am holy. This is how we worship God. Like, it's a very physically and emotional and deep way of worshiping God. All right, let's go to next slide, Adam. Let's break them down by the words. Living, right? You know, we should understand what living is. You're all living. Easy enough. Let's go next. Holy, set apart for a specific and sacred purpose. So we're living, we possess life, and we're set apart. And then sacrifice, the act of giving up or destroying something of value for higher purpose. So being a living, holy sacrifice. Right? God puts value on our lives. He thinks we're important. You are. Yes. He's calling us to be holy, but then he's calling us to take that value, that thing, and give it back to him. I want to talk about some of the times in the Bible when sacrifices are done. Besides Jesus on the cross, which I already mentioned, I want to start off in 2 Samuel 24. And I'll kind of paraphrase all of these, because that's, if I read every one that I got, it's going to be a lot of reading, and that'll take forever. But 2 Samuel 24, there's King David on the throne. He's great, right? He's the king that is a picture of Jesus, right? You know, he's Messiah. He saved them from all this sinful stuff. Well, David goes and sins by taking a census, which that story kind of confuses me, because the start of chapter 24, it says how the Lord sparked in David the idea to take a census. And so he's like, okay, but now David's then sinning because he took the census. It's strange to me. But nonetheless, David sins. He takes the census. Because of that, plague comes on Israel. David's praying to God. He finds the angel that the Lord stopped. And he's like, okay, I'm going to, at this place, build an altar and offer sacrifice to the Lord. He comes to that spot. It's a person's threshing floor where they grind up their wheat, and he sees the angel sitting there. As he sees that, he's like, I'm going to offer a sacrifice. He sees the owner of the property. He's like, hey, I want to offer sacrifice here, build an altar. And the guy's like, dude, you're king? I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the threshing floor. I'm going to give you the ox, to the bull, to sacrifice. I'm going to give you some wood to make it, you know, burn. And at that point, King David stops him. Verse 24 says, no, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have cost me nothing. All right, so the first thing I want to say about sacrifice, it's going to cost us. It's not going to be free, right? There's going to be something that we have to give, right? Sacrifice, that slide, it's something of value that you're giving up or destroying. There is going to be something in us, something out there that we're going to have to give up of value to pay for the sacrifice. In Exodus 19, all the way to chapter 20, God is going to speak to the nation of Israel after he's delivered them from Egypt, from slavery, and he's going to descend upon the mountain. He's going to come in a cloud. He's not going to show his full glory because everyone will die. But he's going to come down in a cloud so that the nation can see him talking directly to Moses. Before they can do this, before they can even see him in a cloud, God tells them, you're all dirty, you all need to wash. He tells Moses that they have to cleanse themselves for 2 days straight before he can come, before they can see his cloud. He ropes off a boundary around the mountain. No one can touch the mountain. No one can touch anybody who touches the mountain. No one can touch an animal who touches the mountain. Anyone who does has to be put to death, except for Moses, because Moses was going up to speak to him, so he's an exception. But you can't touch Moses either. There's a level of obedience here. There's a call that, hey, I'm going to call you to something better. Don't do what I'm not telling you to do. Right? Don't cross the line. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 1 through 3. The dedication of the temple that King Solomon built. When Solomon finished praying, after they built the temple, after they brought their bulls, their goats, their birds, all their offerings, Solomon finishes praying, and fire flashed down from heaven and burned up all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And God's presence filled the temple. The priests who are supposed to go in the temple and worship God, minister to the Lord, couldn't go in. They had to come out. At which point, all of Israel, who was there, sees this, and they know He is good, He is faithful, His love endures forever. And my last and favorite, not the last example of sacrifice in the Bible, but my favorite one is 1 Kings chapter 8. Okay, that was supposed to say God. All right. My nephew over there was proofreading. He missed one, okay? I'm blaming it on him. All right? He was telling me I was putting double I's in there, and he missed that one. All right, so God versus Baal. So when the nation split up, and there was Israel and there was Judah, there was King Ahab, terrible king in Israel, and with his... Oh, sorry, little baby. I'll try and be gentle. When Ahab was there and his wife was there, they started putting up altars to Baal everywhere. I don't know how you pronounce it. Baal, Baal. I say Baal. So they put up altars to Baal everywhere. They have 500 priests, prophets of Baal. You know, and then in comes Elijah and is like, hey, you all want to kill me. I'm going to give you the opportunity. Let's see whose God answers who. At which point, they get all the prophets of Baal and they all go and they start, the whole nation of Israel comes around them too, and they all start worshiping Baal. Now this is where I find that God is great, because He puts in to His story some of the funniest commentary right here in this. You have Elijah off to the side while they're all trying to worship, trying to call fire down on their sacrifices, on their altars. They're cutting themselves, they're screaming louder, and Elijah's just mocking them off to the side, like, maybe he didn't hear you. If you've read the story, you know why he's saying, it's funny. It makes me laugh. Well, he does all this. And then their turn's up, and he says, it's my turn. Elijah then takes the time, goes and picks stones, right? He wasn't already ready. He goes and he picks stones and builds an altar. He goes and he gets wood and he stacks it. He brings in the bull and then he processes the bull there. I mean, we're all from the country now. We know what that means. That's a lot going on. But he does the whole thing, sets it on there, and he starts... He poured water on it too. Many jugs of water. And then he starts to pray. And as he prays, fire falls and consumes all of it. All of these are fun, great stories of God coming for His sacrifice. We're Christians, right? We can all say we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves Christ-like. We've all prayed, asked the Lord to come into our hearts. We are the temple of God. We carry His presence where we go. His home is with us. So where are we making that sacrifice? We are the sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they'd have to go out and build it, find perfect stones that weren't cut, chop the wood, stack it, place the perfect sacrifice, burnt sacrifice there that is appropriate for whatever they're needing to do. Most of the time they lit it on fire themselves. Other times the Lord consumed it. We are the sacrifice. We are His temple. We need to burn for Him continually. The Lord's consuming fire is not going to fall until the sacrifice and the altar are ready. Are you preparing your sacrifice? Are you preparing your altar? What have you done? David showed us there's a cost. Moses shows that there's a call for obedience. Solomon unites a whole community to sacrifice together. Elijah hears a call and stands in the midst of his enemies to sacrifice. There is a calling on all of us. There is a purpose we're here. There is visions that we see that we want our communities, our families to change, to experience, you know, breakthroughs or God in some way. I was not a Christian in my early life. I have a story similar to Tom's, except there's no Catholics in my family. But, you know, sorry. I was trying to be as far away from Christianity as I could. But I had people who were constantly praying, constantly making their own personal sacrifice to the Lord on my behalf. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have the grandparents that I had, the parents that I had, praying for me daily. There's a lot of things in my life that I shouldn't have survived, but I did. And the only way I can attest to that is because of God and because of their prayers. Now, if we're going to be a holy and living sacrifice unto God, how do we prepare? Right? I made a little list, something to help us. Who is involved? Obviously God. God's involved. But sometimes when there's something that we're looking for victory in, we need to go with someone. We can't do it on our own. Other times, this is a personal thing that we need to take on our own. We need to fight that fight in our quiet places. clean out the temple. You should be like King Hezekiah or King Josiah from the nation of Judah when they took over and they found out that the nation was sinning and they had put idols up in the temple of God. They went in and they cleared them all out. They utterly destroyed them. There's things in our lives. There's idols, like I talked about the last time I spoke, like the Asherah poles that want to just creep in there from this world. Things that are okay in our culture, but are not okay with God. Right? There's things that we got to pull out. We got to utterly destroy. Things in our lives, things in our families, it's not good. Destroy them. Survey the situation. Walk around the promise or the vision of God. Like Joshua, like Nehemiah, Joshua walked around Jericho with his army to destroy Jericho. God promised them that victory, and he told them to walk around it, and they did. They just walked. Nehemiah, he had compassion from God, and he was sent back to Israel, Judah, to the temple, where he then walked around and surveyed what gates were broken, what parts of the wall had fallen, and he knew how to build it back. Sometimes the wall needs to come down, sometimes the wall needs to be built back up. Sometimes it's the enemy's fortress that we're taking over, sometimes it's our fortress that we need to build back up. King David, we learn the cost. There's something we're giving up. There's something that we're paying for to make this possible. We need to pray and fast and read, study, like Daniel before he was thrown in the lion's den. He knew you can't pray, but he was going to pray anyways. It was more important than anything that was going to happen to him to pray, to know his God. And lastly, I want to say, put on the armor of God. You see it in Ephesians 6. I guess I didn't add that. But it's the belt of truth, the breastplate of breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Right? These are all simple things for us to, for us to do, how we can prepare our sacrifice, prepare ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice unto God. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. And Philippians 2, verse 13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. We are to be like Christ. Christ offered himself as a sacrifice for us. That sacrifice was a pleasing aroma to God. God is working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. It pleases him that we make ourselves a living, holy sacrifice. That we clean out what's in here. That we pay a price, give up, let something be destroyed. As I close, with great time, let me remind everyone. I challenge you this week to take inventory of your lives. We all have time. We all have the ability. We all can sit and think and reflect what is going on inside us. What are we doing? Is it holy? Is it perfect? Is it right for us? Is there some place in our lives that we need to see victory? How are we going to see that victory? Let's prepare an altar. Let's offer a sacrifice. Almost every single week that I have been at men's Bible study since, I don't even know how long ago that my wife encouraged me to start attending. Almost every single week, Pat prays for a revival in Allegheny County and the Twin Tiers. Constantly praying, praying, praying. John from Ulysses prays a blessing for the man on his right, the man on his left. We all, back there, all the men, we are all wanting to see change in our communities, in our families, in our own lives. We all want to see the Lord and His glory to go forth from here. And we pray for it on a weekly basis. There is more the Lord has for this area. There is more the Lord has for all of us. Let's take this time. Let's take some time, any time, during the week, this week, meditate on the Word. Study the Word. Pray. Fast. If you can. You're pregnant. Don't fast right now. He is giving us a desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Let me pray for you. Lord God, I thank You for this morning, for this word that You shared with me. Lord, I pray in my life that You would give things a highlight, that I might see what needs to be cleared out, that I might see what needs to be bought or purchased. Help me to survey the promise and the vision that You have given. Lord, as we go, if we find ourselves up against a wall, give us the humility to ask for help. Lord, You are the good, good Father. You are doing so much in our lives, and I thank You for it. And I just pray that You would continue that work, that You would be faithful to finish it. Lord, as we go our separate ways, again, highlight in us what You are calling, what You are desiring to work in. I thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone, for bearing with me. If you have a desire for prayer, there will be somebody up here. I don't know who it is, but there will be somebody. You can come up, receive prayer. I hope you have a blessed and wonderful week. There's fellowship. There's things to eat. Go have fun.